Hi, guys, and welcome back to the Rare Wellness Podcast, the podcast designed to help you heal holistically and give you the tools that you need to thrive. We're making it easy to understand medicine and wellness with practical steps from the experts, one podcast at a time. As you guys can see, I am in a new setup here. We have remodeled the studio and I am so excited because we have so many good topics, guests, and new episodes coming up that I just can't wait for you guys to hear about. So to stay up to date with all the changes that are happening on the podcast, all the new guests, all the new topics, and all the exciting stuff that we have coming up, be sure to hit that subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube, to rate us and follow us, and turn on that little notification button if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast or wherever you do your streaming. Rare Wellness is here for you, here to empower you and help you live your best life. So be sure to stay tuned and also follow us on Instagram. DM us your questions. We are here to give you the answers that you need to live your best life. Today, I am so excited for this conversation. We're going to be discussing a topic that has been making headlines and sparking conversations across the globe, diabetes and mostly Ozempic. I feel like it seems like every celebrity and everyone and their mom has been on Ozempic, and it's been all the rage lately. Whether it's being used for treating diabetes or weight loss or pure popularity as a weight loss fad, there's a lot of myths and benefits and controversies that we want to look at and debunk today. From miracle cure to controversial craze, Ozempic has sparked a global conversation, but amidst all the hype and headlines, it's time to separate the fact from fiction and explore the true impact of this diabetes drug turned weight loss phenomenon. We're so excited to have Kayla Kendall, who's a registered nurse and family nurse practitioner, on the podcast today. She practices at North Idaho Primary Care, offering better health care in a direct primary care setting, similar to concierge medicine, which we'll talk more about this in a second when we have her on, but really just helping patients get the care that they need without getting bogged down by insurance companies and limiting their visits and treatments so that they can actually experience healing and an integrated life. So grab a notebook, guys, get comfortable. Let's dive into this conversation. Kayla, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you so much for that introduction. Yes, as she said, my name is Kayla Kendall. I am a family nurse practitioner. So my background is mostly in cardiac ICU. So on a day-to-day basis, when I was working bedside, I saw diabetes type 2 almost daily. So yeah. I do have a lot of experience with the diabetes department. I did see diabetes type 1, but less often. I worked bedside for about 8 years. After I went to New York to help out with COVID, I pretty much had decided, you know, I think I need to do something more with like preventative care. So I decided to go back to school and become a family nurse practitioner. So I went to George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and I graduated and passed my boards in May.
So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited, and I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited to just like talk a little bit about how I practice and where I practice. As you said, I work at North Idaho DPC, which is direct primary care. Attached to the direct primary care, we have a med spa. So cool. We work as a one unit. So it's a one-stop shop for all patients. So basically they can come in for their primary care visit and they can also go to the med spa for anything else that they need.
I love this. First of all, what a cool setup. Also, I just need to ask, what was it like being in New York City during the like height of COVID-19? Like, was it as stressful like in the hospitals as it seemed like on TV and stuff?
It was. So basically, I was living in Seattle at the time when COVID first broke out. And so that actually was kind of where it technically, I don't think that's where it truly first began. I don't think that was zero, patient zero, but technically for the books, that was patient zero. So we were seeing like the first wave of it. And basically because a lot of people weren't doing surgeries, so we kind of stopped doing heart surgery. So a lot of us ICU nurses were kind of just like furloughed, and we weren't doing very much. It wasn't busy exactly where I was. Mm-hmm. So I said, if I'm not really doing anything, I don't have a family yet. I was engaged at the time, but I was like, I want to go do something to help this out. Yeah. So I my fiance at the time and I, we flew to New York City. And I was there for a little over a month and I was just kind of helping them with their wave. And it was pretty stressful. I was actually in the cath lab that was transferred into an ICU. And I had about like six patients when normally, and as an ICU nurse, you have about two. Wow. So it was very stressful. It was very hard. I think that, you know, there's a lot of controversy with COVID. But the first wave was definitely the worst. And like, it was just such an eye-opening experience to me of where we are in the US and where we need to be. Mm-hmm. So having all these comorbidities like diabetes, heart disease and stuff, when pandemics like COVID happen, it makes people more at risk. And so yes, that's why I love being a primary care nurse practitioner, because my focus is specifically like to prevent these bad things from happening.
Really quickly to touch on, if a listener is like listening to this podcast right now and they're like, what is direct primary care? What's the difference between that and my primary care doctor? Can you explain that?
Yeah, absolutely. So direct primary care is a new and upcoming thing. It's definitely really started to like come to a head in the last 10 years. So basically it's membership based. So you pay a membership fee to come in as much as you want. And we take care of all of your primary care needs. If you have a good primary care doctor, they can take care of about 80 to 90% of the care that you will ever need. So especially with the med spa, like if you're sick and you need an IV, I can do that for you. If you need IV antibiotics, I can do that for you. So we try to save patients' trips to the ER. So typically we work kind of like an urgent care too, whereas if you wake up one morning and you say, I have a sore throat, I might have a strep throat, I need to go in and get a test, we can do that. I have an in-house pharmacy. So basically after patients are done seeing me, if I need to prescribe a medication, I usually have it in the back that I can just write them the script for and then send them on their way. If it's like a narcotic or a stimulant, that is something that I have to send to the pharmacy. But everything else I usually have in office. I also draw patients' blood in office, so they don't need to go to the lab for that. Cool. But we're taking out the middleman. We're taking out the insurance companies. If a patient does have insurance, usually what we recommend is switching their plan to like a catastrophic plan. So if they are in a car accident or they get cancer, the insurance will then step in so they can get the treatment that they need. Mm-hmm. But as far as like paying copays and things like that, that doesn't exist in direct primary care. You just come as much as you need and you're paying the monthly membership and all of that is included. So I love this because the upper head people are not saying, Kayla, you need to see 20 something patients a day. I control that.
And you can really focus on giving like quality care. You really are a one-stop shop. That is really, really cool. You guys are located in Hayden, Idaho, right? Mm-hmm. So anyone in like North Idaho can look you guys up. And what is your clinic called again?
North Idaho DPC. So North Idaho Direct Primary Care. Also, though, I can treat patients that are in the state of Washington. So if patients do feel like they need care, but they, you know, they're not finding anyone that's good for them, I have a lot of patients that come from Washington as well.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kayla, I like to ask everyone who comes on the podcast, what does wellness mean to you? Because I feel like every person based off of their work experience, their profession has a little bit variation of a similar answer. Yep. What does wellness mean to you?
So the first thing that I want to say that it's like so important to me is as a provider, I hold my patients to the same expectations that I hold for myself. If I tell my patients something that I want them to do, I'm holding that to myself as well to hold that expectation. So in wellness as a whole picture, I believe this involves like many dimensions. Yeah. So for physical wellness, so like examples of this would be like vital signs, your blood pressure, how does your blood work look? And I don't really like BMI as much as I like body scans because the body scans are going to tell me exactly what is your muscle mass, what is your body fat percentage. So that is like my physical wellness. So how is a patient looking, or myself even, how much fat do I have on my body? How much muscle do I have on my body? Is my blood pressure normal? Does my blood work look okay? Like, is my cholesterol high? So that's like the physical point. And I, as equally as important as physical wellness, I also have emotional wellness on there, because so many people struggle with anxiety and depression. And that is like a huge thing for me, because I think that if you are at a physical peak of like your body is really healthy, but your mind is not healthy, it's still not.
It's not wellness.
Yeah. It's not wellness. So I like am super, super like in interactions with my patients about like, how are you feeling emotionally? What is going on in your life? And so this also includes like neurological development. So like when I'm assessing babies and kids, I'm seeing where are they on the spectrum as everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, there's an environmental, which would include like your finances, your spiritual, and your social. So like, are you social? Like, who are you as a person? And what do like, everybody's wellness is going to look different, right? Like, I am a very social person. My husband is not a social person. So that's okay.
You're like, to be well, I need to see people. And he's like, to be well, I need to be alone.
Yes. And I respect that, right? Yeah. So I'm like, okay, who are you as a person and what defines your wellness? So it's going to look different for everyone. But if you've ever heard of the Maslow hierarchy of needs, like that is my one thing that I go to for like wellness, because basically it's like all these steps, like, am I taken care of like financially? Like, do I have a place to live? Am I safe? Am I breathing? Because you can't move forward until you like meet these needs.
No, you're not worried about actualizing your life and reaching your fullest potential when you don't have a safe place to live.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's like how I view it.
Wow. That was like an art of an answer. That was so beautiful. I feel like I could like listen to that three times, but I feel like being able to look at where am I on like what needs do I have to take care of without judgment can be the hard part too. Like, it's okay if I'm not at like the stage where I'm trying to like self, like it's okay to be in survival mode sometimes.
Right.
Understand that like, I don't need to have shame of like, I'm not at the pinnacle of wellness. Like wellness is taking that next step. And like, I think that's such a cool framework to be able, like if I'm listening today and honestly, just for myself to sit down and be like, okay, looking at these different like levels, like where taking inventory, like where am I currently at in my life? Like what are my circumstances? And then how do I take little steps to move forward? I feel like it's so empowering. So empowering. Today's episode is sponsored by Rare Planet Health Supplements. I am such a firm believer in making sure that our body gets the nutrition that it needs for optimal physical performance, brain performance, and overall mood and vitality in life. Rare Planet Health has several different supplements that I have been integrating into my routine and that I highly recommend. But the one that I really want to talk about today is Rise. Rise is a dietary supplement that is a multivitamin, a probiotic, and also is formulated to help boost mental clarity. Whether you're an entrepreneur or you just want to be the best that you can at whatever it is that you're doing in life, this supplement is a great addition to your wellness routine. The bottle is super cute, which makes it really easy to integrate into your routine every morning, and it's designed to help strengthen your attention span with vitamins to help up your mental game, which I think in a digital era, we can all use. By combining a multivitamin and a probiotic, you can combat mental and bodily fatigue with a single supplement. It also provides support for intermittent fasting, improving your energy and productivity while decreasing your food cravings, if that's something that you practice, and has a large dose of vitamin A and B12, which will help your organs, nerves, and red blood cells remain healthy, as well as your skin and hair. The capsules are super easy to swallow, and each bottle contains 60 capsules, which should last you 1 to 2 months. They also offer a premium fish oil, which if you've listened to any of our episode with functional nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, as well as women hormone optimization, fish oil and omega-3s are so important for vitality and a healthy diet. They also have Ageless, which is a stem cell, joint, and tendon support supplement, and a few more on there. You can get your supplements at rareplanethealth.com and use code RAREWellnessPodcast10 at checkout for a discount on your supplements. Again, that's rareplanethealth.com. Use code RAREWellnessPodcast for 10% off on your supplement purchase. This podcast is also sponsored by Rare Wellness Med Spa and Wellness Studio. Rare Wellness is a space where you can connect to yourself and get all the tools that you need to thrive and heal and be your best self. Whether you're looking for premium yoga, bar, or movement classes, functional medicine, aesthetic services, massage services, IV hydration therapy, and more, Rare Wellness is the place for you. To get 10% off any service at Rare, use code RareWellnessPodcast. You can book at RareWellness.com or the MindBody app. Lastly, this podcast is sponsored by NWC4RM.com, Northwest Center for Regenerative Medicine. If you're looking to reduce pain and avoid surgery, this might be the solution for you. Get back to the activities you love without surgery with regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is a non-surgical orthopedic procedure for joint pain, arthritis, and injuries. If you want to learn more about regenerative medicine and if this might be the solution for you so that you can avoid those surgeries and continue to get back to the activities you love operating at full capacity, go to NWC4RM.com. Regardless of where you are in the country, you can book your appointment there and do an online consultation so that you can see if this is the right fit for you. Receive a free info packet by going to NWC4RM.com and just entering your email, and you will receive more information to learn more. All right, let's head back to the episode. So let's dive right in. We're going to hit Ozempic, and I feel like we have so much to talk about that, and that's like all the craze lately. But before that, let's talk about diabetes. So What's the difference? Explain diabetes for people listening. Most people have a general idea, but what's like type 1 versus type 2?
So there, like you said, there's two types of diabetes. There's type 1, which is usually found in children. However, 1/4 of cases are diagnosed in adulthood. It's one of the most common chronic diseases of childhood. And it's autoimmune. So basically there's an insulin deficiency following the destruction of the insulin-producing beta cells in the pancreas. So basically, people with type 1 diabetes, they do not produce beta cells. They're not producing any insulin at all. Type 2, however, with the increasing risk of obesity in the United States, it's now increasing in the youth. Whereas before, like I would say, you know, over like 50 years ago, we were seeing it more in adults later on in life. And this occurs due to an insulin resistance, whereas type 1 is insulin dependent. So typically with type 2, we're seeing, you know, patients are obese, which is the most important risk factor for, you know, getting type 2 diabetes. Genetic susceptibility, which is more seen with type 1. However, it can be with type 2. I've seen, you know, families where they're like, well, my mom had type 2 diabetes and my dad had type 2 diabetes, and then the patient develops that. It also can happen because of your ethnicity. So Native Americans, African Americans, Hispanics, Asian Americans, and Pacific Islander are very at risk for developing diabetes. And then one thing that I really want to talk about is, which can be a whole another topic in itself, is PCOS in women.
Oh, my word. Yes.
Yeah.
We need to. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I feel like, sorry, just to cut you off, we do not have enough education about women's health in general.
Yeah.
And I feel like many women with PCOS are left to just struggle with no answers. So anyway, keep going.
So with PCOS, like, what we're going to talk about today, I recommend Ozempic or semaglutide for women who have PCOS because they are so at risk for, you know, developing heart disease, diabetes. So that is a big part of it. So that's the big difference between type 1 versus type 2.
Yeah. Do you feel like the trend of more and more people and children developing diabetes or type 2 diabetes has to do with like diet and lifestyle that's like normalized in our culture? And do you know any difference between like America and other places? Is this a worldwide trend?
No, I think so. First, specific like the United States, I think it has to do with the fact that this is going to sound horrible, but people are lazier. And
it's
they,
true.
Yeah. it's hard it's to true. Say that, but like, I feel like even looking at my parents' generation versus my generation and just the people that don't want to work, yeah. You know? And so it's, I think people don't, they want fast results, right? Yeah. They want it just like that. And so, you know, people exercising and eating well, that costs money to eat well. Mm-hmm. So it could be a financial piece. It could be the fact of what we're putting in our food. And so I think it has a lot of you know, a lot of pieces to why type 2 diabetes is increasing, but it is lifestyle changes that's the problem. So, but I do know that UK, like the UK is pretty good about, you know, taking care of like having clean food and taking care of their people. So I know, you know, but it also like kind of depends too, because if you're looking at like state by state, so like when I lived in Seattle, like people are extremely active and they're very keen on eating organic food and things like that. So I think it also depends on where you live in the United
States.
There's
pockets. Yeah. There's always pockets. Like, and there's like healthy and unhealthy people everywhere. But I would agree that like in general, like if you're in Europe, like you're going to walk or take, like you're going to walk to the bus station, you know, you're going to walk to work. In the States, like walking is not integrated into our lifestyles. In Europe, like there's over 4,000 or 5,000 ingredients that are banned, like food ingredients that are banned, including like certain like dyes and a bunch of other stuff like for, and in the US, like there's very little regulation over like what can be put into our food and products. And like, there's just so many. And then even like culturally, like you said, I think it's hard for, especially as like for the younger generations now, like dopamine, like we've grown up with dopamine, like on our phones and like instant gratification all the time. Yeah. And so like a lot of the stuff that you mentioned, like eating, like nourishing meals or moving our bodies, like those, that's like a slow dopamine release. And, and we're not used to that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's sad.
It is. It's sad. And you know what? The one point that I do want to make, because I have traveled quite a bit. So when I was in nursing school, I went to the Philippines, and like worked with women like postpartum, and I actually got to deliver a baby. I've been to Europe. I've been to Haiti. And so I've done a lot of like traveling and seeing the world. And I don't want to put on the United States that it's this poo-poo thing, right? Like,
no,
I think the United States is like the best place to live, and we are so blessed to live here.
I agree.
And especially seeing what people go through in other countries and all the things that we have access here. We have all the resources. It's just us as Americans don't
cultural.
Use them.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would 100%. So, like side tangent, but my family grew up in Eastern Europe in Bulgaria. Like, so my parents immigrated. I'm first gen American. But I'm so proud to be in this country. And like, there's a reason why, like we immigrate, cause like they grew up in communism, and like the choices that you have for, like, there's so much, even like health wise, like my mom didn't have access to organic food. Like now she's like super healthy in her lifestyle, the way she eats and everything. But it's like, and both of them, like the opportunities that it's really choices. It's like you said, it's choices. So I 100% agree with you. And I feel like that's a stigma that, not to get political, but essentially like in a lot of America, or there's a tendency to like dog on America. It's like, oh, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, like we, like you said, we have so many options and opportunities that aren't available in other places. And we just have 100%. We have to like appreciate, understand, and like take advantage of it.
100%.
There's a lot of people who would love to be in our shoes to have all the opportunities and options that we have. So yeah. Anyway, side tangent.
Love it.
Yeah. What symptoms would I start experiencing if I'm getting diabetes?
So the thing that I love about this is that it's actually pretty easy to remember. I call it the three P's. So polyuria, so you're going to be peeing a lot. Polydipsia, which is increased thirst, so you're going to be constantly thirsty. Polyphagia, which is increased hunger. Ooh. So that's typically what we would see with patients that are not necessarily with type 1 diabetes, but with type 2 diabetes. And also they're going to be leading a sedentary lifestyle, so they're not going to be exercising. They're going to be overweight. And a lot of the times with patients with diabetes, they're going to say, this is horrible, but this is actually what I see. Older men will come in and say, maybe they're in their 40s and their 50s, and they'll say, my erection is not strong. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand why that is. And that is a symptom of diabetes. Or I have patients that come in and say, I have numbness and tingling in my feet, and I don't know why. That is an automatic red flag to me to test for diabetes. So there's a lot of different symptoms that may be on the side, but the three P's definitely are the big ones. Yeah. And then with kids with type 1 diabetes, typically you may see seizures. You may see that they have like a loss of consciousness. And that's typically associated with DK, which is a whole nother topic in itself. But basically they just, their sugar is just there. It's like their sugars are just so high. And then we need to give them insulin to get it down. But that's a hospitalization.
Wow. How does having diabetes impact overall health?
Yeah. So diabetes, I always tell my patients, is the one thing that you don't want to get because it increases your risk for heart disease. It increases your risk for like wounds, like especially on your feet that don't heal. It increases your risk for MI, for having a heart attack. And so basically when like looking at heart disease specifically, it's a major cause of mortality among patients with diabetes. And it can increase your risk of a heart attack. So typically when I get a patient that I'm looking at, what are your risks? Like, what is your risk of having a stroke or a heart attack? So I do something called the ASCVD risk calculator. And it's actually an app. But basically I put in the patient's age. Do they have a diagnosis of diabetes? Their sex? Are they a smoker? Do they have high cholesterol or high blood pressure? And then their race. And it essentially calculates it for me. And if it's greater, like if it's greater than 10%, that's usually an indication that they need to be on a statin. Mm-hmm. But anytime you have diabetes, you're putting yourself at huge risk for the list of comorbidities is so long. Yeah. And so, but typically, so as a cardiac surgery nurse, I did mostly like waking patients up from heart surgery. Mm-hmm. So it was one thing that I did. And diabetes was pretty much always on the list of like patients on their comorbidities of when they have heart disease, they likely have diabetes as well.
Wow. Is it reversible? Like if you get diabetes?
Yeah. So if patient comes to me, we do a test called an A1C, which is your blood sugar over 3 months. So if I'm seeing that the patient's blood sugar is greater than 6 and I've checked it twice and it was greater than 6 both times, it's like, okay, we're getting to the point where it's like, because there's pre-diabetes and then there's diabetes. And because I worked in the cardiac ICU, I'm pretty strict on my patients and I'm sure that they would also say the same.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, like, you know, because diet and lifestyle are always number one change. Yes. And I am the type of provider that I'll sit down with my patients and I will literally print them a whole like food plan for them.
I love that.
And I'm going to say, listen, like, these are the things that you can eat. These are the things that you keep, like, you need to like avoid. And, you know, carbs is the biggest thing and sugar. So we're cutting, how much soda are you drinking a day? You know, we're cutting that down. How much dessert are you eating a day? Or a big one is how much alcohol are you drinking?
Yeah.
So that is like one thing that I'm like, okay, let's see if we can just reverse it. Right. Because it's so new. But eventually, like when we get to the point where your A1C is like 9 or 10, it's like, okay, how long have they been like this?
Yes. Because you need a greater intervention.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I love two things. First, you mentioned I love the holistic approach of like, we're going to look at what you're doing in your life that's contributing to this, but then also like, I love that it's like this like hybrid and combination of like, let's use medication where it's helpful and necessary, but like, let's look at it holistically. Cause I feel like a lot of times it's like very polarized. It's either like anti-medication and like, I'm not gonna, when it's like, sometimes it's necessary, it's useful and it's helpful. And then there's like the other side sometimes where it's like medication, no matter what, and we're not even gonna look at your lifestyle. So it's like this beautiful hybrid. And I love that you brought that up. And then second, earlier in your introduction, you mentioned you try to never ask your patients to do something that you yourself aren't implementing. Right. And even just like taking the time to sit down and like make a meal plan or like food plan for someone, like that is attention to detail and care that I feel like, I always say like finding a good provider is like dating. Like, you genuinely have to go and like, don't be afraid to like, break up and try again and find the right fit for you. And if your provider is not providing that level of attention to detail for your life and your care, like there are people out there who will do it.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, it was so cool. Cause I'm like, I feel like there's unfortunately a large chunk of Americans who have not experienced that level of care. It's just like, here's the drugs, like figure it out.
And for me, I would say because I worked cardiac ICU, obviously my main experience is with the drugs, right? Yeah. So as becoming a family nurse practitioner, I work with DOs, and I don't know if you know what a DO is, but they do a lot of more of the like holistic approach.
Yeah.
So I have learned so much about like treating things naturally. And that is always my first line. And especially if a patient comes in to me and they're like, listen, I don't want to do this drugs.
Yeah. Like
I want to do this naturally. And I'm going to say, okay, the let's come up with like a plan that works for you. And also is something that you are comfortable with, because just because I want to start like a statin for someone that needs a statin, if they don't want to do that, then they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
As long as you're educating about the risks associated with it, then that's what you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is why I love, like, you know, even like a big why for starting this podcast is I feel like there's so many questions that we have just like as ordinary people and like patients that we don't get the answers to. And just having the options allows us to make a decision, but like knowing our options of like, these are all the different things, and then no judgment on what is the right fit.
Yeah. Of course.
So let's transition and dive into Ozempic.
Yes.
The Ozempic phenomenon. So what exactly is Ozempic? How does it work in the body?
So before I go into that, I want to tell everybody here, because there's a lot of people that either are like very pro or very like no. And so this is my motto.
Yes.
Everyone deserves optimal mental and physical health. And nobody is going to have the same journey to get both. So the solution.
That's so good. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the solution is individual based. Okay. So when someone comes to me and they say, I want to start Ozempic, it's not a, okay, here's the medication. It's we're scheduling a meeting, and the patient and I are meeting and talking about what have you tried? Yeah. What have you done? Tell me about what medications you take. Tell me about your lifestyle. So I think diet and exercise is always first line. But if patients are finding that they're not getting the results that they want, then a conversation about starting Ozempic is completely like worthwhile. And so to dive in, so what is Ozempic? So Ozempic was originally designed for diabetes treatment. However, it's now approved for weight loss. So if you're looking at Ozempic specifically, so it's also known as semaglutide and Wegovy. So those are the two names. It's a GLP-1 agonist. So GLP-1 is produced from a gene in the small intestine. And its main job is to slow gastric emptying and suppress appetite. It also stimulates the pancreas to secrete more insulin. So that's why it works.
Mm-hmm.
So typically, if I'm putting someone on Ozempic, the dose range is between 0.25 and 2.4 milligrams. So just depending on how the patient is tolerating it and if they're losing weight or if they're not losing weight. So it was FDA approved for diabetes in 2017. So it's been around for a while. However, technically, Ozempic is not approved for weight loss. FDA. But get this. Wegovy is, but they're the same drug. It's because the people want to make money. So know that when you're talking about Wegovy versus Ozempic, it's the same.
That's crazy.
I know. It's the same ingredient. Semaglutide.
Wow.
Yeah. So don't be like fooled by that, especially if you're going online. Like the scary thing people tell me is like, oh, I'm getting it online. I'm like, oh God, like where are you getting this? Like, yeah. is it even working? Because people will like give it to you online and it's not even a real thing. Yeah. So it's like, and so it can be taken orally, which is a different name, or typically the most common is by injection through an insulin needle.
Yeah.
So that is like Ozempic, how it works. And it's usually given by injection. You can, depending on like what the patient's dose is, you can do it in the arm. It's in the fat or in the belly. I prefer to do it in the belly. I just find that it's like better absorbed and you rotate the sites always. Mm-hmm. And it's just once a week. So that is also a benefit when I'm talking to patients and they don't want to take something orally, like diabetics, for instance, they may be put on metformin, which is an oral diabetic medication. That is something that they have to take every day, whereas this is just once a week.
Yeah.
So that's a big plus of this medication. So it's a huge like fad right now.
Oh, 100%.
And yeah, we'll dive into that more.
So I feel like Ozempic, the way I've heard it described, I was listening to this one podcast and it was this like celebrity who during COVID had like put on a ton of weight. And he's like, yeah. I walked into like a party, like one of the first ones, like after Ozempic, walked in the room and I was like, what was everyone doing during like, wow, everyone was like, must have been working out at home, not like me eating chips and like watching like TV or whatever. And then somebody's like, no, like they're all on Ozempic. So point being, Ozempic has become like such a fad and I think more people are on it than we even realize. So like,
yeah,
when did Ozempic become so popular? Even among like non-diabetics, like when did this happen? How did it happen?
You know, I don't exactly know why it exploded the way that it did. I mean, it's a new drug. So there's that. And I'm sure it started by the fact that someone that was diabetic was taking it and they're like, oh, I'm losing all this weight.
Yeah.
And then we've started to realize that that is the neat benefit is that you lose weight on this medication, which is how you treat diabetes, lose weight. So it's definitely super popular because like we were talking about earlier, people want instant results. Mm-hmm. And typically within the first month to 2 months of being on Ozempic, you're going to start to see results, which is a lot different than when you're going to the gym and you've been working out for months and you're like, okay, I've lost like 10 pounds, but I had to work really hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is that people want instant results and that's why it's so popular. And you know, as we were kind of talking about, as me as a provider, like I hold myself to the same standards. So quick side story. So I got pregnant with my son about 2 years ago. And it was my first baby, about 2 months into the pregnancy, maybe a little less, I was just falling asleep all the time. I couldn't figure out what was happening. I was losing my hair. I went in and they actually ended up diagnosing me with hypothyroid. Mm. But what's interesting is I have autoimmune hypothyroid. So it's not just from the pregnancy because the baby takes from the mother's thyroid because they don't have their own until after about 17 weeks. So a lot of women do become hypothyroid during pregnancy, but mine is like actually autoimmune. I have the antibodies. Mm. So when people have autoimmune disease, I find that it's actually hard for them to lose weight in general. Or they're just very sensitive to just gaining weight.
Yeah.
So
especially when your thyroid is not functioning properly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a huge thing. So when people come into me and they're like, hey, I'm not losing weight, you know, I want to start Ozempic. It's like, well, wait a minute. Let's talk about, do you have a primary care provider? Have you had recent blood work? What is like actually the whole picture here? Because are you not losing weight because your thyroid's out of whack? Mm-hmm. Or are you not losing weight because you're in menopause? Mm-hmm. And those are things that we can address because it's like we can fix the problem of like you're overweight.
Yeah.
But why are you overweight?
Yeah.
Is it because of your lifestyle or is it because of something physically that's going on? So for me, I'm going to give a shout out to F45 because it's changed my life. Zach and Susie at Coeur d'Alene F45, they've like literally changed my life for the better. So basically about 6 months after my son was born, I was the heaviest I'd ever been. And during pregnancy, I got carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis from being overweight. Yeah. And so I went and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to make some lifestyle changes. So I did a 6 week challenge with one of the coaches. I lost a bunch of weight. I felt great. But I couldn't get below 180. Even changing my diet, working out 4 days a week, it just was not happening. Mm-hmm. And so when I started here, Dr. Jenna Silkowski, who owns the practice, was like, well, have you thought about maybe trying some semaglutide? And I was like, what is semaglutide? And then the whole Ozempic phenomenon was going on during this time, actually, too, because it was exploding.
Yeah.
So I can honestly open, and I'm very open about this, and I'm very like, you know, I was on semaglutide, and I also actually was on tirzepatide as well. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But again, holding my patients and me to the same standards. I'm not putting you on a medication that I don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. I've been on it. And I actually lost 40 pounds on that medication.
Okay, so, first of all, how incredible. Also, I feel like this is – there's a stigma and misconception sometimes that like I love how you said like there's so many different angles to like approach this on because first of all, I have so many friends – I'm like, where do I even start? With F45, I have so many friends who have – I've heard so many good things about it. I have not tried it yet. I told you before we started the podcast, it's like I want to get in there and just like see what it's all about because I've heard so much. But how cool to like be a part of a community that's like making like fitness and lifestyle fun and like something you look forward to. Super cool. Second, I feel like so many people listening would probably relate to your journey. I feel like so many people are dealing with underlying like autoimmune disorders that they don't know anything about. And pregnancy throws everyone for a loop generally.
Yes.
I feel like sometimes there are so many people I know who it's like, I work out, I eat healthy, I'm doing everything in my power and it's just not working. And I think if you're not someone who deals with an autoimmune disease or have some sort of like physiological like thing that's preventing you, whether it's like thyroid or something else, that's like preventing you from being able to lose weight, it's really easy to like misunderstand. Yeah. Like sometimes it's not like, someone might not be lazy or they may be working really hard and like doing all the right things and it's just not working. And I think that there's too much like, not stigma, but like I love that. It's amazing that we have tools like Ozempic and like medications that can help, with that like next step. And I don't know if I phrased that properly.
No, but that's great.
It's amazing that we have tools like Ozempic and, 40 pounds is amazing. How long did it take you to do that?
So, you know, what was like really sad when I look back was I waited so long because I thought like by breastfeeding that it would just come off. Yeah. My weight would just come off.
Yeah.
Because I was like 160 pounds before I got pregnant with my son and I'm 5'9". So, but I wasn't working out. So I guess I just kind of expected that I would bounce back after my son was born and it wasn't happening. And I finally remember waking up and looking at a picture of myself before, like during Christmas. And I was like, whoa, like this is not okay. Like, and I just said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to do something about it. And I had never like lifted in my life. Like most of my exercise came from like when I was, I want to say like growing up, I did mostly like dance. Mm-hmm. So I was like ballet, jazz, like I did that kind of stuff. Fun. I never was like super good at sports. And so when I would go to the gym, I'd be like, okay, what do I do? And so when I joined F45, like it was so great because they were like, Kayla, this is how you lift. Mm-hmm. This is how you lift properly so you're not going to hurt yourself. And like if I was lifting incorrectly, they're coming to me and they're saying, hey, you need to like change how you're doing this because you're going to hurt yourself. So it was such a good environment because I literally had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, and they weren't judging about it. And there's no mirrors in there, by the way. So like
so much less intimidating than like going to a gym. Like gym anxiety is so real.
It's
like,
so real.
Yeah. 100%.
So I think that like if there's no mirrors, there's like no one, like you're not watching yourself. So it's like literally the coaches are just watching you and making sure that you're lifting appropriately so you're not going to hurt yourself.
So cool.
So I feel like that was like super helpful for me because I was like, I need to get back because I'm actually, there are so many side effects associated with being overweight. Like I had to have plantar fasciitis surgery because of how much weight I gained so quickly. And like nothing was working to get the pain away. I had carpal tunnel. I had like some of the things are just pregnancy, right? Like women, like they experience.
But the combination.
So, yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's really about knowing your body and knowing like what you can handle, what you can't handle. My body was basically screaming at me saying like, hey, this is not you.
Yeah.
And it was just too much.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the controversy with Ozempic, I think, from my understanding, really comes to there's so many side effects of being overweight. So like the epidemic of obesity is so real, so real in the world today. And to have something that's going to offset this is huge. But then, like you said earlier, this is a new drug, a newer drug. And we don't know the long-term. Yeah. Like there's effects of this too. So how do you weigh this out of like, obesity will kill it, will kill you or hurt you in the long run, right?
So
let's talk about like what are the risks of Ozempic? What are the risks of being obese? So people understand like the conversation that's happening.
So here's the thing: when someone comes to me and they say, "Hey, Kayla, I want to start Ozempic," so we don't carry Ozempic in the med spa. We carry, you know, the active ingredient. We carry semaglutide.
Yep.
So we offer semaglutide and we offer tirzepatide. So first of all, I'll tell you a little bit about tirzepatide. So tirzepatide is also known as Mounjaro. It's a dual action. So it's acting on the GIP and it's also acting on the GLP-1 agonist. So it's both. So typically the dose for that is 2.5 to 15 milligrams. It's given the same one shot, like injection, like once a week, rotating sites. The FDA approved Mounjaro tirzepatide in 2022 for diabetes, and it was approved for weight loss in 2024. So here's the thing, being on both medications, I can kind of give you the rundown. So with semaglutide, I was pretty sick. I had a lot of reflux symptoms, constipation. I also felt a bit nauseated. When I took tirzepatide, there's usually less side effects and more weight loss associated with tirzepatide. So I will say that I did not have any side effects on tirzepatide. And that is the majority of patients. So if I put someone on semaglutide, it's cheaper. So it's better to go that route. So you're on the semaglutide. The patient's telling me, hey, Kayla, I'm vomiting. I call them, I say, you're not taking this medication anymore. Because here's the problem. If a provider is not managing these drugs, they can be very dangerous because it's not just a little drug. It's a big drug. And so a lot of people don't understand the risks associated with this. I mean, obviously now people are seeing the bad things that can happen. And so it's hitting the news. But basically, the contraindications are like absolute no-nos. So if someone comes to me and they say that they've had a history of pancreatitis, it's an automatic no. Like you're not starting these medications because there is a risk associated with pancreatitis and these drugs because it's producing more insulin from the pancreas. Yeah. If they have type 1 diabetes, I'm going to say, you know, I don't think that's a good fit for you because they don't make insulin. So the risk of like having hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, is pretty high.
Yeah.
And then certain types of cancer, it's usually a pretty big no-no too for starting these medications. But so that is the same for both semaglutide and tirzepatide. So if someone comes to me, they say, hey, I had a history of breast cancer or I've had pancreatitis in the past. And typically when you would see pancreatitis, if someone drinks a lot of alcohol. Or I'm a type 1 diabetic. That's like typically like, I'm not going to put that on the risk of you being on this medication. But the main difference between tirzepatide and Ozempic is that basically tirzepatide is dual action, like we talked about, and it targets two hormones versus one. And there's typically less side effects. And people usually have more weight loss with tirzepatide. So I'm definitely seeing a lot more success with tirzepatide lately. And being on both, I can speak to the fact that I actually think that tirzepatide is a better option for most people.
I think this is why it's so important. Like you mentioned earlier, I feel like there's so many like online. I don't want to say dealers, but like drug dealers basically, but online dealers, whether they're through a company or not, that are like just casually handing this out to people. And
because they know that they can sell it because they people want it.
Because they're like taking advantage of this new market. And this is people's actual health that's at risk.
Yeah.
And their lives are at risk. So used correctly can be amazing. Used incorrectly, like can be a huge
can cause some really bad problems.
Yeah. So definitely like love the point of like, hey, there's so many benefits to this. It might be a great solution for you, but make sure you're going to an actual provider.
To find it.
So is this a long-term thing? Like if you get on, do you stay on?
That's such a good question. So there's two things I want to hit. So first of all, the potential risks. So risks versus pros. So I'll hit that. The second thing is, can you stay on it? So actually, I'll address the can you stay on it first because I am a good example of this.
Yeah.
So I decided after I hit the weight that I wanted to hit, I want to come off of it. Mm-hmm. So you taper off. Usually people have really good outcomes when they're tapering off of it and they don't really have this like rebound weight. Mm-hmm. However, with my autoimmune disease, I noticed that as soon as I came off of it, I felt worse. And I definitely noticed a significant increase in my brain fog and also inflammation and water weight from being off of it. Mm-hmm. So what we have developed at North Idaho Med Spa is a maintenance plan for patients. So if they decide that they want to taper off, it works for them. They're good. They'll come back to us if they need us. Great. That's awesome. If patients are really, really concerned about gaining the weight, we are offering a maintenance program. So you can do a shot. You can do a shot every 2 weeks for like a certain cost, or you can do a shot once a month and it just kind of keeps you level.
Yeah.
So that is the options for like coming off of it. And I think that like the maintenance program is amazing because if you're, and usually when I sit down with patients and I have them get blood work before we start this medication, so that I can see where are you at here and let's look and see where you're at in like 6 months, 3 to 6 months. And typically what I see is when people are losing weight, their blood pressure is coming down. So I'm able to like get people off blood pressure medication. They're feeling better. Their pain is better because there's less weight that they're carrying and their cholesterol usually comes down. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about like potential risks. So when I have this conversation with people where I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. I know you want to do this. We've ruled out other things like your thyroid is good. You may be in menopause and there's really nothing we can do about that besides like hormone replacement therapy, which a lot of people don't want to do and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about like what I go through with all my patients. So typically the number one side effect is GI disturbance. So nausea and vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, abdominal pain, gas, and you may have increased reflux symptoms. So you're like feeling that burning sensation. Yeah. Some people complain of fatigue. Some people complain of hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar. However, because this is an injection once a week, not a pill that you're taking every day, typically you're seeing less side effects of like dropping blood sugars. Pancreatitis, we talked a little bit about that already. Gallbladder disease. And this is usually because people are dropping their weight so quickly, which is why it's so important to have a provider managing this. Because if a patient comes to me, and this has happened multiple times, by the way, they say, hey, I've lost 8 pounds this month, but I'm hungry. I want you to increase the dose. And I look at them and I say, listen, 1 pound a week is appropriate. You've actually lost more than that. I'm not increasing your dose. That's not safe. And so you can't have like that's the thing as we talk about these people want these like rapid results, and then you've heard this online, I'm sure, the Ozempic face.
Yep.
So you lose weight too quickly, you're not exercising on this medication, you're going to lose muscle, aka you're going to like look not great.
Yeah.
So, and for an example from my personal life, so I did a body scan before I started semaglutide. And then I did a body scan about 6 months after, also doing F45 3 to 4 days a week and eating a lot of protein. I had the least amount of body fat that I've ever had and the most muscle mass that I've ever had in my life.
Incredible.
So if you do this medication and you use it right and you exercise and you lift weights, you're not going to get this Ozempic face. Like you have to take care of yourself, and people don't realize that. You take this medication, you're like, oh, I just want the weight to come off. But then you're also not realizing all the side effects that are like with that.
Okay. I feel like to go alongside that, there's, I hate diet culture. And I feel like there's so much within like diet culture that's like, well, it's all about what the scale says, or it's all about like you talk about this idea of like, I just want to lose the weight. And it's like, no, you want to be healthy and you want to like, honestly, even if you want to look good, like even if that's a goal for you, like your muscle mass matters. It's not like, let me just get to the lowest amount of weight, because you could be like, I mean, there's the term skinny fat too, right? Like it's like, you might not have the weight, but you may not have any muscle. And it's like, it's less about hitting this like arbitrary number on a scale and more about like, I wish that culture like that, and I feel like we're doing a better job at slowly transitioning, but like, I wish it was more about like, how do you feel? How's your energy? Like, how is your muscle? And I love this movement, I feel like, for women for so many years. I know I'm talking about women, but for women for so many years, it was like, how do you stay as like, how do you eat as little as possible and stay as skinny as possible? And you'd hear, it was like, I feel like it's a very cultural thing of like so many, I just think about my childhood, so many moms that I knew who would be like talking about like what diet they were on or like how little they were eating or whatever. And I love this transition to like how much protein can I eat? Like this, like eat more, not less. I don't know. I just like wish that was like something that we could change. Cause otherwise it's like, I'm sure it's frustrating as a provider to be like this can be such an incredible tool for you. If you use it in conjunction.
If you use it correctly.
If you use it correctly. Just like anything else. And I think that this way, it's so easy for us to like see everything so black and white and demonize like, don't do this, do this. This is good. This is bad. And it's like, well, what if it's like more like these are all just tools. They're neutral. Like, would you look at a hammer and be like, this is good or bad? Like, no, it depends what you're using it for. Like if you're using it to like destroy the hood of someone's car, like not good. You know, if you use it to build a beautiful structure, it's beautiful. So it's like, I just wish that we would look at these things like tools in a toolbox that we can
and
use.
You want to know how I get them?
Tell me.
So if you don't eat protein and you're on this medication and you're just like withering away, your hair will fall out. I tell that to them and I'm like, eat protein. You have to eat protein. You have to exercise. Like you have to take care of yourself on this medication. Because if not, you're going to start seeing side effects like the Ozempic face. Your face is going to cave in. Like you're going to lose all your hair because you're not eating enough nutrition.
Yeah.
So, and that is a big problem because when you're taking these medications, it's slowing gastric emptying, right? And it's hard to remember, oh, I need to eat.
Yeah.
I'm not hungry. Like, so I try to find that balance with patients. Like they'll tell me, well, I'm hungry. I'm like, okay, well, how hungry are you? How much food are you eating in a day? Because even though you're not hungry, you still need to be eating as much protein as like you possibly can, because if not, your body is going to show you, I'm not okay.
Yep.
And one other big thing mentally with Ozempic, there was a study done that people who were taking this medication had an increased risk of suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. So, and I try to give my like the best examples of like my personal life so people can know like that I've like I live this.
Yes.
So I actually take an antidepressant. I've been on an antidepressant since college because nursing school was very stressful for me.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of anxiety and a lot of depression, and like my medication has very much leveled me out. And so, you know, knowing that there was a risk that it could affect my mental health when taking this drug, it's really good to be aware of. However, like I noticed that like my mood actually only increased, but there is a potential for suicidal thoughts when you take this medication. So I say to patients, you know, if you're starting to feel down and nothing major has happened in your life, I need to know about that because it could be the drug.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, tell me if you're starting to feel off. Because, and you know, you really, when you're going to take these medications, like you need to be like aware of yourself. Like, where am I here? And 6 months down the road taking this medication, where am I here? And, you know, just because I had all of these positive experiences with this drug doesn't mean that other people are going to have positive experiences on this drug.
Yes.
So,
yes.
That's a big thing.
There's so much truth in what you just said, and being open, like with your provider, so that you're not like putting yourself at risk. And also, like you said, it's so individualized, because maybe for one person, it's like that reaching that plateau and it's like, I'm doing everything to be healthy, but I'm just not happy with like where I'm at or how I'm moving, or like there can be so much like positive association with like, I'm finally feeling healthy and able to move my body and able to do these things, you know. For someone else, like you said, it might trigger their brain in a way that's not great. And so just like having
open communication is so important.
Yeah.
So important.
And like, I'm just such a big advocate for like compassion and non-judgment for yourself. Mm-hmm. Like just like holding space for like letting your journey be your journey. And like, you don't have to have the same experience with this or anything else that like you try in your life. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be on your own journey, like for something to affect you differently than it affected your friend or you, Kayla, or like me. Like, it's just like, we're all on such an individual journey. And I know you mentioned that in your motto as well.
Yeah. Like, everybody's individualized. And like, for me too, like for another example of that is like, so I've had patients that they see me on the MedSaw side and then they're like, ooh, like I actually want you to be my primary care doc. So like, they'll come over and they're not tolerating the GLP-1s. So I'm like, okay, let's explore other options, because I can do that as your provider. You know, and I have seen a lot of negative, but I've also seen a lot of positive in using phentermine, which is short term for, it's a stimulant to help with weight loss. So I basically, as long as I see that patients are active in their health, they're eating well, they're exercising, or maybe they can't exercise because they actually have an injury that they can't exercise. So I really try to like help patients get to where they want to be in the healthiest way possible.
I love it.
And like, so we've kind of talked about the downside of these medications. So like, some of the pros that actually people are not like talking about is that Ozempic and tirzepatide actually help with substance abuse, because the medication helps with cravings. So it's also seen to start working with nicotine dependence. And I also can speak to this to myself, because I kind of am a sugar addict. I love cookie dough.
Oh my God. You could just eat the whole tub on accident.
So I noticed when I take my medication, I don't crave it. So I noticed that like specifically in my own life, it really does help with my cravings. So people who are alcoholics, and I've also noticed with these types of drugs, the GLP-1s, they kind of punish you when you eat bad or when you drink a lot of alcohol, you'll have a lot of reflux. So it almost makes it so it's like, hey, reminding you, you can't do this. So I think that that is like one very big pro of this. So if I have someone that's like, you know, you just have to be careful, because a lot of alcoholics have in the past had pancreatitis. So that's something that's like, hey, these are the symptoms of pancreatitis. You need to watch this. If you're having symptoms, you need to go to the ER emergency, like immediately. So that is one of the benefits. The other benefits is like, of course, weight loss and improved metabolic health, blood sugar control. So a lot of times too, with insulin resistance and women with PCOS, their blood sugars are just all over the place. Yeah. And I asked my mom, this is okay. Cause I was like, mom, I got to use you as an example. So my mom really struggles with hypoglycemia, but it's because she eats so much sugar. And I am very open about that. I tell her that to her face. I'm like, mom, you got to stop with the chocolate.
Yeah.
And she, her blood sugars would just dip, because what happens is you eat the sugar and your pancreas is like, oh, sugar, secrete insulin. So she was having all these problems because of her diet. And since she's been on this medication, she's lost about 40 pounds as well.
That's incredible.
Her blood sugar has very much normalized. Yeah. So that is another pro. Of course, decrease in cardiovascular events, such as like preventing MI. And then one patient that I had was actually on two blood pressure medications when she came to saw me. We put her on semaglutide, and she lost about 30 pounds. And I was actually able to get her off both of her blood pressure medication. Wow. Unfortunately, though, when we kind of had to figure this out the hard way, she came in, she's like, I'm not feeling so good. Like, I took her blood pressure, it was pretty low. So I was like, oh, like, this is the problem. Like, every time you start to lose weight,
yeah,
your blood pressure is going to come down. So you need to be aware of those things and be watching it. And this is why a provider needs to be managing this, because all these things can happen. And then one thing that's interesting is that, have you heard about the term Ozempic babies?
No. Tell me about that.
Okay. So women are seeing benefits with infertility on Ozempic. Because what happens is people are losing weight, especially women with PCOS. So if I have a woman that has PCOS and they've tried metformin in the past and they're having trouble with metformin, I say, you know, let's try a GLP-1 because it's going to help you lose weight and it helps restore normal menstrual periods and increase ovulation because of weight loss.
Yeah.
But on the downside of it, I had to talk to women who don't want to get pregnant and are on oral contraceptives, and they'll say, hey, listen, this is a risk.
It might decrease the, like, the effectiveness of that. Yeah.
You might be getting pregnant. So, yeah.
I love that you've mentioned like PCOS today and fertility, because I feel like you hear about Ozempic so much for weight loss, diabetes, other stuff, but like I have not heard about it talked a lot with like fertility. So how interesting. Also, how cool, because we talked about this a little bit off camera, but I feel like for so many women with like PCOS or endometriosis or like any sort of like painful menstrual cycles, like a lot of times in the past we've been like left out to dry and just like good luck. Like this is just normal. And how like it's just really exciting to because I've heard a lot of people say like there's no cure for this, so it's cool to know that like maybe there is some treatment options. You know,
I think the best treatment option for a woman with PCOS is weight loss. And I can say that like since I've started in May independently, I have diagnosed at least 6 women with PCOS.
Wow.
And I, you know, have had long conversations with them about the fact that this, you just have to literally watch what you eat, because I can eat that and maybe be fine, but you eat that and you gain weight. And so it's just like one of those things where weight loss is one of the biggest things that you can do. And they're insulin resistant. Yeah. So this type of medication is an amazing option for them, because there's like over 13 different cancers that are associated with obesity. So they did find that in semaglutide rats, when they gave them 10 milligrams, they developed thyroid cancer. So that's always a thing when I talk to patients, like, hey, this is what was done in the animal studies. This is what they found. However, like research states that when they did this in like real people, they didn't develop thyroid cancer. But it's a risk. There is a risk with every medication that you take, but there is also a risk with sedentary lifestyle and being obese.
Yes.
So you have to pick what's best for you. What do you want to do to take charge of your health and make it better?
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's like we came back to, like, that's where the conversation really comes to, is like, there is, like you said, there's risk. And also, like, we don't know the long-term effects. Like, we haven't seen what using this for, like,
for weight 40, loss,
50, 60, mm-hmm. yeah, for weight loss. However, we do know that obesity is, like, killing Americans at, like, mm-hmm. Or not just Americans, but people at, like, unprecedented rates. So, how amazing that there are options out there. Today's episode is sponsored by Rare Planet Health Supplements. I am such a firm believer in making sure that our body gets the nutrition that it needs for optimal physical performance, brain performance, and overall mood and vitality in life. Rare Planet Health has several different supplements that I have been integrating into my routine and that I highly recommend. But the one that I really want to talk about today is Rise. Rise is a dietary supplement that is a multivitamin, a probiotic, and also is formulated to help boost mental clarity. Whether you're an entrepreneur or you just want to be the best that you can at whatever it is that you're doing in life, this supplement is a great addition to your wellness routine. The bottle is super cute, which makes it really easy to integrate into your routine every morning, and it's designed to help strengthen your attention span with vitamins to help up your mental game, which I think in a digital era, we can all use. By combining a multivitamin and a probiotic, you can combat mental and bodily fatigue with a single supplement. It also provides support for intermittent fasting, improving your energy and productivity while decreasing your food cravings. if that's something that you practice, and has a large dose of vitamin A and B12, which will help your organs, nerves, and red blood cells remain healthy, as well as your skin and hair. The capsules are super easy to swallow, and each bottle contains 60 capsules, which should last you 1 to 2 months. They also offer a premium fish oil, which if you've listened to any of our episode with functional nutritionists and functional medicine doctors, as well as women hormone optimization, fish oil and omega-3s are so important for vitality and a healthy diet. They also have Ageless, which is a stem cell, joint, and tendon support supplement, and a few more on there. You can get your supplements at rareplanethealth.com and use code RareWellnessPodcast10 at checkout for a discount on your supplements. Again, that's rareplanethealth.com. Use code RareWellnessPodcast for 10% off on your supplement purchase. This podcast is also sponsored by Rare Wellness Med Spa and Wellness Studio. Rare Wellness is a space where you can connect to yourself and get all the tools that you need to thrive and heal and be your best self. Whether you're looking for premium yoga, bar, or movement classes, functional medicine, aesthetic services, massage services, IV hydration therapy, and more, Rare Wellness is the place for you. To get 10% off any service at Rare, use code RareWellnessPodcast. You can book at rarewellness.com or the MindBody app. Lastly, this podcast is sponsored by NWC4RM.com. Northwest Center for Regenerative Medicine. If you're looking to reduce pain and avoid surgery, this might be the solution for you. Get back to the activities you love without surgery with regenerative medicine. Regenerative medicine is a non-surgical orthopedic procedure for joint pain, arthritis, and injuries. If you want to learn more about regenerative medicine and if this might be the solution for you so that you can avoid those surgeries and continue to get back to the activities you love operating at full capacity, go to NWC4RM.com. Regardless of where you are in the country, you can book your appointment there and do an online consultation so that you can see if this is the right fit for you. Receive a free info packet by going to NWC4RM.com and just entering your email, and you will receive more information to learn more. All right, let's head back to the episode.
So one of the main questions that I get when people come and see me at the med spa is, well, why doesn't my insurance cover this? So the thing is if you do not have a diagnosis of diabetes, most insurance companies are not going to cover this, which I find very interesting because all of the bad things that are associated with obesity and diabetes, like so heart disease, needing coronary artery bypass grafting surgery later on in life due to all of these like comorbidities. And if we could fix that and nip it in the bud, insurance companies could save a lot of money long term in taking care of these people that are really sick. For example, if someone with diabetes, obesity, heart disease has COVID, likely they are going to get a lot of complications associated with that. It's the same with pneumonia or things like that. So if we had availability to control that for prevention, how much less would insurance companies have to cover that? So I think it's like so interesting that insurance companies are not more willing to help out. And I think it's just because they see this like crazy spike in how much that they're going to have to pay, and they're not looking at it long term.
I think it also depends on when in your life you're expected to have those surgeries, because like I know a lot of insurance companies will like do as little for you as possible until you're like off of their insurance and onto like Medicaid. Which is
Medicare.
Like they don't care about your well-being. It's a business.
So they are like, basically, I hate to say it, but they basically just like, and what they've done with semaglutide and like Wegovy, they are, from what I've experienced personally with insurance companies, I don't find that they're not always into like the best option. Mm-hmm. They're into like the cheapest option. So that is why we offer it through the med spa for a set price, and it doesn't go up as your dose increases. So it's just a set price every month. You get your 4 shots and then that's it. And then also like you have a provider that's there managing it. So it's me usually for all the semaglutide stuff. So that's like the interesting point with that.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. And I'm also tangent, but I am a firm believer that it's actually not more expensive. I mean, maybe it's a little bit more expensive to just like pay for good care, like out of pocket now. But in the long run, like you are going to save so much money on surgeries, on medications, and honestly, just your quality of life. Like, you can make more money when you feel better and like you're doing better. Like, you can run a more successful business. You can be more successful at your job. You know, you can have a higher quality of life with your family. And so it's like, you can avoid potential surgeries down the road by investing in your health now, you know? So there's, when you really add up the numbers, it's like, what's more expensive? Like, I don't know. So that's just my personal take on it. But
no, I totally agree.
Yeah. Kayla, what advice would you have for someone who's listening today who is considering Ozempic?
I think the biggest thing is having a conversation with someone that's not going to judge you, because I've actually been with a lot of patients that providers are like, no, like, I'm not giving you that. Like, you need to exercise, you need to diet. And then the patient's like, well, I have done that. Like, and it's not working. So I think like sitting down with me or someone that is in a med spa or something like that, that's willing to listen to your story and willing to assess what potentially could be the issue. Like, have we ruled out that your thyroid is working properly? Have we ruled out that your hormones are okay? Because I think that if you are very interested in this medication, that is absolutely okay. We just need to make sure that it's safe and that it's a good option for you. And there are people that have come into my office and they've told me a little bit about their life and like their history. And I'm just saying, you know what? I'm sorry. This is not a good option for you because it's not safe. So I think like, and like not just buying it online because you don't know what you're getting. And, you know, I've also like had patients like, oh, I didn't know I needed to rotate the sites. I didn't know that this was a potential side effect. So like, I literally sit down and I tell them everything, even like not the not so good things, because they need to know that they're making the best decision for themselves.
Yeah. And just, it's so empowering to have your options and have a provider that takes you seriously. Like, if your provider is not taking you seriously, like I said before, like there's other options. There's like, it's like dating, like you have to find the right provider for you.
Yeah. And I might not be the right provider for, like, I'm not the right provider for everybody. And that's totally okay with me.
Yeah.
I would rather you feel comfortable and you get the care that you want. Yeah. Like, it's not going to hurt my feelings. Like, of course I want to like be everyone's provider, but like,
of course,
if it's not a good fit, then it's not a good fit. And that is okay. That is totally okay.
100% agree with this. Okay. I feel like we could talk forever about all this stuff and more. There is so much, there are so many, like, this is like such a great overview. And I feel like there's like so many different routes we could take this down and just talk for hours and hours. And I am really enjoying this conversation. But for our, Kayla, for our listeners, I love to end our episodes with a practical tip that they can take with them, particularly with like lifestyle, and changes that they can, like, if they forget everything that we talked about in this episode today, except for what you're about to share, what would that be?
So I think specifically just in general, like the best tip that I have for people is take care of your body, because you think that these things are not affecting you now, like having high blood pressure may not necessarily affect you right now. Having diabetes may not be so out of control that it's affecting your coronary arteries or it's affecting your skin right now. But 20 years down the road, what is your body going to look like? Because I've seen those people in the cardiac ICU. I've taken care of those people. I've witnessed how hard it can be. And so primary prevention is the most important thing, because making sure you're getting your pap smears, making sure that you're doing blood pressure screening, making sure that you're getting your yearly physical. Have you been to a dermatologist? Have you been to a dentist? Because do you smoke? Like, do you know how bad that is for you? Because, and you know what? I don't want to like sit here and like poo-poo you for doing all these things, because I have had patients that come in like, I'm not going to quit smoking. And you know what? You know what I say? I said, you know the risks. You know how it's affecting you. I'm not going to change that.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that, you want to do that.
Autonomy. Like, you should have autonomy over your life, but you should at least not do it out of ignorance. Like, it's
just take care of your body. Find a workout that you enjoy. I honestly hated working out until I started at 45. And then I was like, okay, this is my jam.
Like, how incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll find something, but like you said, it's like dating. You have to go and try it. And you have to not be scared to do so, because if you hate it, you hate it. You don't have to do it again. Yep. So taking care of your body, you know, I never realized actually how harmful alcohol was until I became a provider. Wow. Because like, I see how bad it is for your body. So like, I can honestly say that like, my nights with like my friends and like wine night and stuff, I really try to limit that now, because I guess I just never realized like how negative it is. Yeah. So like just taking steps, and it doesn't have to be like, okay, I'm never drinking
all or yet. Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's everything in moderation, and like taking care of your body and like finding someone that can help you get the, like get to where you want to get is the most important thing.
Yeah. And I feel like those, like, I want to just touch on what you said about like that all or nothing mentality. Like sometimes you're like, well, I can't start exercising because until I have all of the perfect equipment and all the perfect coaches and all the perfect stuff, where it's like,
yeah,
I can't start eating healthier until I'm ready to completely give up my cookie dough and like not go on a diet. Like, you know, like it's like, if I eat one piece of cookie dough, then like the whole thing's out the window. And like, now I'm like, it's those little decisions that add up for our lives. And that goes beyond just like health. That's just like life. Like the sum of our choices add up to our life. So it's like you said, you don't have to swear off smoking or drinking or all of this stuff like forever. No. On day one, it's just like, can you drink an extra cup of water where you wouldn't be? Like, can you take a walk in the morning when you would normally, I don't know, scroll on your phone for 30 minutes before doing something? Like, scroll on your phone while you walk. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
Just like
those little changes. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It might be like 5 deep breaths to start like regulating your nervous system. Like it doesn't have to be this like all or nothing. Uh-huh. Just start. And like over time, those bad habits will accidentally be replaced without you realizing it. And it's a lot easier when you're not trying to like restrict yourself into like, I can't. Cause what happens to your brain, then all you do is start to think about it. Like,
right.
It's not great. So
no, and that's a great example. Like smoking is probably one of the best examples of that, is like, you can quit cold turkey, but I feel like people who have had more success are the ones that are like, okay, today I'm doing this many, tomorrow I'm doing this many. And then like slowly cut it out of their life, because then it's not this like, oh my God, like this thing that I've been doing for my like half of my life, and now it's gone. And now all I want to do and all I think about is smoking.
Yeah.
So if you cut it like in parts, then like it's so much easier for it to make it last lifelong. Okay. Versus like,
which is done. The goal.
It's a goal. Yeah, and there are some people that are like, I just quit cold turkey and here I am, I'm good. Yeah. And okay, great for them. But I would say the majority of people, that's not going to work.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So many good conversations that we had today, and such a good conversation that we had today.
Yes, such a good conversation.
Yeah. I really appreciated you making time to do this. If our listeners are like, I want to see Kayla, where can they find you?
Yeah. So they just can Google North Idaho DPC, or they can Google North Idaho Med Spa. And there is a place just to schedule a free meet and greet for the primary care side. So the first appointment is free. We come in, we talk about your goals, we talk about what you want to do. And then if you want to be signed up with the clinic, you can get signed up with the clinic right there. And then usually it's like, for the first physical appointment, it can be as early as the next day to the following week. It's never longer than that. And then because there are 4 of us, so like I haven't filled my panel yet. So I still have lots of room for patients. If you are interested in the med spa side, so for our med spa, we have a lot of different things besides weight loss. So we actually have a red light bed. Yes. And we have an AccuFit machine, which actually is a huge new and upcoming thing that eventually maybe you and I would want to talk about.
It's like
a TENS machine, but so much stronger. And it like basically is equivalent to like 1,000 sit-ups in a session. Yeah. It's insane. And I'm so in love with it. Like, I have done it a couple of times and I'm like, oh my gosh, I already see results. So a lot of people that are doing the weight loss thing, they also sign up for the AccuFit to like tone their muscles while we're doing it. But so we do that. We have IV therapy in the office. So like a couple of my gym members, after they work out a hard workout, they come and they get, we have a, like an athletic IV that we offer. We do IM injections. Like the list is like, we do laser hair removal. So there is a ton of options at the med spa. So yes, we're just Kayla, so much.
So I think it would be so fun to do an episode where, we do the episode either with IVs in, or yes, we do the episode, and then like show the different, like,
yeah,
like the, whatever the fit machine was you just talked about.
Oh, the AccuFit. Cool. Yeah, I'll hook you up to it and you can see what you think, but I don't know if you can see on the screen. So hold on.
Here, show us.
I'm going to show you a picture of the before and afters of AccuFit. You can like literally see crazy differences. So like, here's a...
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's so, like, insane.
Yeah. 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 So
how exciting. Okay, wait.
I know. It's so good. So, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Well, for people listening, definitely go check them out. So if you guys are listening to this on audio, if you head over to YouTube, you can see like some of the before and after that she just showed, or you could go to North Idaho Med Spa and you can see before and afters there. But I'm blown away. I was not expecting that. Like, that was crazy. So yeah, stay tuned. Follow us for following episodes. Be sure to go check out Kayla and North Idaho Direct Primary Care, North Idaho Med Spa. Follow us, DM us with your questions for Kayla or other providers so that we can answer and give you the tools that you need to live your best life. And we'll see you guys next Friday on the next episode. Bye.
Bye.